Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. Welcome to the THT podcast. We've got a fantastic guest for you today, as always. We've got an experienced intensive care nurse with a degree in acute clinical care. Karen Lee has an extensive knowledge of how the body works, or so she thought. As she learned about nutritional medicine, including during time spent in India, a whole new world of health opened up to her. She's been blogging about her new way with food, and the Sensitive Foodie was born. Since switching to a whole food, plant-based diet, Karen has experienced radical changes in her own health and well-being. Whilst working as a nurse, Karen was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, an incurable neurological autoimmune disease. Using a plant-based diet and other lifestyle practices, Karen continues to manage her health positively and live well despite a number of health issues, and supports others to do the same with her courses, workshops, talks, retreats, and one-to-one sessions. Karen's first book, Eat Well, Live Well with the Sensitive Foodie, was published in February 2019 and has gained readers and rave reviews from all around the world. Welcome to the TH podcast, Karen. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you for having me. I am very good, thank you. Yes, very good indeed.
Excellent. Good stuff. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Where did it all start and how did it get to where you are now?
Well, I think my journey actually started back in childhood when I just grew up with headaches and cycles of being ill or being sick mainly, which wasn't very nice for people. It just sort of, that was just part of life. But then when I was working in intensive care, I used to work in neurological ITU, and which is a very, very stressful environment, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I just had really bad migraines that just would not go away. And so I decided that I needed to do something about it. And I started looking into all the different options, and that's how I discovered I had some food intolerances, and which were contributing towards the headaches. So that was my favourite things, which was milk, or basically dairy and yeast. So yeah, all the things I love to eat, which was cake and cheese, bread and wine, and all of those things were contributing towards me feeling pretty awful. So I started cutting those things out, but I really love eating, as I'm sure a lot of people do. And so I started adapting recipes and creating different ways of still having the food that I wanted to eat, but in a way that wasn't going to make me feel really rubbish. And a side effect of it, that was I started losing weight really naturally. I'd always been a bit of a yo-yo dieter, and my weight fluctuated very frequently. And then we went to India with the whole family went. We went off my husband's job. And whilst I was out there, I met this amazing doctor called Dr. Nandita Shah, who ran courses about using food as medicine. And it's all about eating a whole food plant-based diet. And I started studying nutritional medicine whilst I was out there as well. And I just got so inspired by her, and then that's when I changed over to eating a plant-based diet, and I just started feeling so much better. So that when I came back to the UK, I went back to nursing, because I wasn't working out in India. I did go back to working in intensive care, but I went back to a general ITU rather than the neuro one. And I also set up the Sensitive Foodie Kitchen, I'd already been blogging about it whilst I was away, and I started teaching other people about the benefits of eating amazingly tasty food that also just happened to be good for your health. So that was all going on, and then things went a little bit haywire, and suddenly out of nowhere I got hit with an episode of something called optic neuritis, which is an acute inflammation of your optic nerve, and it meant I lost the sight in my eye, which did come back, fortunately. But that was the early stages, or the early times when they decided that there might be something more serious going on, and that's when the MS was diagnosed. And so I stopped working. I stopped working as an intensive care nurse because it wasn't really conducive, working 13-hour shifts with no break, lots and lots of stress, night shifts. And I carried on doing Sensitive Foodie Kitchen, made more changes, diet and lifestyle changes, and have just gone from there, really. There's been a few other health challenges along the way since then. They all seem to come in the space of a few years, but they're all under control, they're all being managed with diet and lifestyle, and that's what I love teaching other people. And I just share the joy, really, of doing the best that you can to stay well and having more control over the way you feel.
That's fantastic. You've had quite some journey over the past, decade or so, is it?
Yes. It's been interesting times, very interesting. And I think it's funny how these things build up. And when you look back, and I'm sure a lot of people who suddenly get this diagnosis that seems to come out of the blue, when you actually look back, it's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. And strange things start falling into place, and you think, oh, okay, so that's what that was all to do with. But it's interesting times. I'm very lucky. I have a really supportive husband and children, or they're young adults now, who are really, you know, fantastic, and have gone along the journey with me as well.
Excellent. Good stuff. So over the years, while you've been learning all these new things with the plant-based diet, etc., what were the biggest lessons you learned along the way on your quest to improve your own health?
I think one of the biggest things for me was opening my mind up. I'd worked in the healthcare field for a few decades, and you get stuck in this sort of medical module, if you like, and it was really opening up my mind to the different ways of looking at things and looking at the body as a whole. That's for sure, that because everything is connected, not just what we eat, but how we live our lives in other ways as well. So how we respond to stress, how much exercise we do. These were all really, really important things that were obvious, but not obvious, if you see what I mean, because it's always like, this is a problem, you're going to treat it. You're going to give it a pill, or you're going to chop it off, or whatever it is. And actually, if you could be really proactive and make positive changes that make you feel better, but also then you can start changing other areas of your life so that you can feel even more better, if that makes sense. So it's just, to me, it was just kind of opening up my mind and looking at different sources of knowledge.
That's good. Excellent. So on your courses where you teach the plant-based diet, lots of cooking courses and cooking demos and all that sort of thing. A lot of the recipes, amazing recipes, by the way, beautiful, absolutely beautiful food. So definitely go and check out Karen's website after this. So a lot of the recipes are gluten-free and dairy-free as well. What health issues have you found that cutting out dairy and wheat in terms of your cooking, what has that helped your clients with?
Yeah, it's interesting how our bodies respond to certain ingredients, and it's not our health issues are never related to one specific thing. It's all part of an overall picture. But certainly food intolerances and food sensitivities and reacting to usually proteins in certain foods are a key start of inflammation in gut health. And gut health is absolutely key to whole body health. So dairy and, well, wheat products, anything that's got gluten in, it's just not, it's been played around with so much and broken down. And if you eat a lot of processed foods, then there's always derivatives of those in them. You know, sort of dairy appears in all sorts of different forms, whether or not it's dried milk powder or in casein or whey protein, all these things. So everything's been sort of concentrated, taken out of its natural balance, but also changed with regards to getting better yields. So not even like talking about genetically modified things, even just, you know, sort of naturally changing the type of wheats that are being used. And a lot of people are really sensitive to that now, because the gluten is much tougher, it's not been broken down as easily in the gut, or it's what's actually been, the product's been sprayed with beforehand. So a lot of wheat is sprayed just before harvesting with various chemicals, and residues of that end up, and all of these things end up contributing towards creating this inflammation in your gut. And I think particularly with dairy, in my humble opinion, we don't need it. You know, we there's no other animal that sort of goes into having mother's milk into adulthood. And also we have this strange sort of opinion about what is appropriate animals to have milk from as well. So there's a lot of embedded beliefs in the system. And I think that in the long distant past, when food was scarce and early agriculture, the relationship that people had with their cow was very different to the farming techniques that are used now. And the cow would have been cared for and would have been eating lovely lush grass. And wouldn't have been kept pregnant the whole time, which is what happens now. So the milk now is pumped full of, it's got loads of estrogen and other hormones in it. And, you know, it's just, everything is just packed in and it's just too much. It's not how we're designed to eat. It's not how we've evolved. And our food has changed so much. The food we eat has changed so much in the last 50, 60 years compared to how we as humans evolve over the last sort of thousands of years. And it takes us time to catch up. And so if our gut our gut can adapt to things, but if it's under constant assault from medications, from antibiotics, from inflammatory foods, from a really high animal product intake and a lack of fiber, which is the raw product that keeps the gut healthy, then it's creating this inflammation. Wherever you get that, it's like if you bump your hand or you cut your hand and you get swelling and you get redness, and the swelling is where the capillaries have become leaky in order to get the white blood cells through, in order to check out what the problem is and to deal with it and to start the healing process. And the same happens in your gut lining. And so if your gut lining is inflamed, it starts getting leaky. And then you bacteria or partially digested proteins that shouldn't be there end up getting absorbed into the bloodstream. You get this another inflammatory response, And basically, your body is just continually in this low-grade inflammation with a lot of foods, particularly processed foods, but also particularly dairy and gluten. And what I've noticed is when people, well, when I've experienced as well, is when you reduce or cut those things out of your diet, you increase the amount of fresh whole food, so increase the amount of vegetables and fruit and other whole grains, or sort of, if you're gluten-free, then gluten-free grains like millet or buckwheat, something like that, and beans and legumes, all of these things, they flood your body with this incredible selection of nutrients. And these tiny, tiny phytonutrients, all the different colours that you get in your food. And this actually helps to decrease that inflammation. So it counterbalances this inflammatory response that you're having from foods which are making you feel unwell. And it starts a healing process. And slowly, it takes time. Some people feel great really quickly. Other people, it takes a lot longer because we're all different. But there's this big secret out there, really, the fact that the body has this innate knowledge and it can heal itself given the right setting and the right situation. And I had a great analogy from Dr. Michael Greger, who wrote How Not to Die. You've probably heard of him. And I went to a conference where he was speaking at, and he said that if you walk into a coffee table and you bash your shin, it hurts, but you know, it will heal. And but if you walk into the coffee table 3 times a day, 7 days a week, you know, sort of every week of the year, then that leg is never going to get better, and it's only going to get worse. And it's like that with the food that we're eating. We're just, you know, we don't allow ourselves to start feeling better before we start bombarding it again with other things that are creating this sort of negative and inflammatory response.
Yeah, it's fascinating that. I mean, a lot of people probably have never even considered that human beings are the only species on planet Earth that drinks the milk of another mammal. You know, yeah. So it's insane, isn't it? You know, yeah. So that might be news to some people right now listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you will find the odd documented thing where there's a mother cat that looks after puppies and things like that. But, you know, that it's pretty rare. But especially, particularly as adults, you know, we wouldn't consider, you know, it's not a pleasant sort of socially acceptable thing to consider having breast milk as an adult, you know, or milk from a dog, you know, all of these things. People really respond like, oh my God, that's horrible. But so why is it okay to have it from a cow or a goat or a sheep? And it's just, we have these ideas are just really, really embedded in society. And there's a psychologist called Dr. Melanie Joy who talks about this a lot. And she's terms it carnism. She talks about why it's okay to eat some animals and not others. And a lot of that's culturally, you know, as well. So it's really interesting because these are our beliefs. We don't tend to question them, which is why I said earlier on, it's about one of the biggest things I've learned is about opening my mind and thinking about, well, why am I doing something? You know, am I just doing this because that's what I've been told is the right thing? Or actually, is it, you know, are there other things going on here? What is the right thing?
Absolutely. So in terms of what we eat, and the massive prevalence and the constant increase in the number of people who are getting cancer and dying from cancer, what would you say are some of the main causes of cancer in modern society in terms of what we eat?
Well, it's lifestyle completely. There is a genetic factor with cancer, but it depends on the type of thing, but it can be anywhere between sort of 5 and 25%, say, a genetic thing. But the rest of it, 75%, is connected to the way that we live our lives. And with regard specifically to food, it's a high meat intake, a high dairy intake, a lack of fiber, a high sugar, a high refined oils, all of those things are just creating this toxic environment in the body and making the body work really, really hard, because there are elements of nutrients in all of those things, not in the refined sugars and oils, but there are proteins and fats which the body needs, but not in such high concentrations. And it also needs all of these minerals and vitamins and phytonutrients that you get in fresh produce, because that's how we evolved. It always says that we're hunter-gatherers, but actually we were more gatherers than hunters, because hunting was hard work. And so a lot of the food that was relied upon was what could be gathered seasonally. And if you managed to get a bit of animal or a bit of fish, then you would have worked and exercised for that as well. And a lot of the chemicals that are used in foods now as well, and even like animal agricultural techniques, if you eat beef, farmed beef, the cows have been fed food that's not natural to them. They're not out grazing and foraging like they're supposed to do. So they're this balance of fats in the meat is out of sync as well as to how what our bodies really need. We need this balance between these essential fatty acids, so omega-3 and omega-6. And you hear a lot about, essential fatty acids. Hopefully other people have as well. But omega-6 is involved with the inflammatory pathway. So we have our immune system needs to know when to get switched on, because otherwise you could be exposed to a bacteria or a virus, and then it won't know that it's a problem. And then, you know, you'll die essentially, because you've got, there's nothing there to defend yourself. So it needs to be switched on. But an omega-6 is involved in that pathway, but also it needs to be switched off again. An omega-3 is involved in that pathway. But if you've got a diet that's really high in omega-6 fatty acids, which is from lots of margarine, from refined vegetable oils, from, like I say, from a lot of meat, from dairy, and not enough omega-3 fatty acids, which you'll find in nuts and seeds. You also find in oily fish to a certain extent, although fish has its own challenges these days. But also in other whole foods, in whole grains, and even in vegetables, you can get omega-3 fatty acids. So unless you're actually getting a proper balance of those, then your body doesn't know how to switch off, because it hasn't got the right signals. And also every single chemical process that is going on inside the body, which is just so many, thousands upon thousands all the time, they all need like little enzymes, they need cofactors, which comes from fresh produce. So because a lot of them are quite fragile and they can't be stored in the body. So if you're not eating a good selection of fresh fruit and vegetables, then you are automatically in a deficit. And so you're getting the backup systems that have to be used are creating more byproducts. So every chemical reaction has a reaction and then leftovers. And it's these leftovers, usually these hydrogen ions, that can get up to mischief and create inflammation in the body. So unless you've got the nutrients in order to go through the easiest route rather than the backup route, and fresh stuff which helps to limit the damage done by the byproducts of every chemical reaction, you're creating this constant inflammatory state inside your body. And so cancer is an inflammatory condition, and it's the wrong signals. Somehow the cells are reproducing something goes wrong and the cells aren't dying and they're not differentiating. So they're not different from each other. So basically it's the same cell that just keeps on reproducing and it doesn't know how to switch off. So if you're not giving your body lots of nutrients in order to get the right signals, then that's kind of where that comes from. But there's so many other things apart from food that can contribute towards that. So it can be the toxins in the air, so it can be where you live. A lot of stress is very, very inflammatory to the body. But also emotional traumas as well, these negative feelings that we can end up holding inside. All of these contribute to that as well. So it's never one, just one single thing.
Yeah, so you made a few very good points there. You talked about inflammation and that delicate balance between omega-6 and omega-3. It's supposed to be omega-6 ratio of 2:1. So 2 omega-6 to every 1 omega-3. But in the Western world, typically people are much closer to like 15:1.
Absolutely.
Omega-6 to omega-3, which is a big factor in this inflammation you were just referring to, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so.
So you run lots of different courses and retreats. You're just in the middle of, or either in the middle of or just finishing an online retreat, aren't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we are. And so we're on day 2. This is our second online retreat. And I'm working with 3 other amazing practitioners. And it's, basically I was supposed to be running an in-person retreat, you know, a real retreat next month, but obviously that's been put on hold for now. We're running this online retreat and it's a mixture of yoga and meditation. We're doing some cooking classes as well as other healthy food recipes. We've got talks. Activities. It's really, really packed with all sorts of things. This time we're focusing on rejuvenating and refreshing. So a little bit of a cleanse as we're now in May and trying to sort of come out of the fog of lockdown. Whereas the last one we ran in April was more about managing anxiety and staying well and supporting our immune system. And it's a mixture of recorded and live classes, which brings its own challenges with internet and just working in my own kitchen. It's not, it brings up its own challenges, but that's real life. And so people can see, we try to make it as simple as possible. But one of the things that we've got out of it from the first one, that feedback was that people were saying that when they go away on retreat, they leave feeling refreshed and full of good intentions to apply these things they learnt at home. But then they go home and then they don't do it because real life kicks back in again. But by doing a retreat at home, they learning, because all the yoga is being adapted to, doing it at home. So they actually have got that practice and things in place so that they can continue doing it. And we actually run, although the retreat is for 1 week, we actually keep all the information open for 30 days so people can keep revisiting it. And we top it up in that time as well with a few extras. So it's great. And it's really lovely way to connect with people all around the world. We've got 13 different countries on this one.
That sounds fantastic. So even after all the COVID-19 stuff that's going on at the moment and all this social distancing, running those online retreats adds another option for you to be able to connect with people even further, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. So I mean, we're all having to adapt to different ways, but this has been, it's been a really nice way of reaching out to people. And, because there are quite a few people isolating by themselves, and which is really tough. So it's given them a chance to connect with others. And also some people who are isolating with their families, it's given them a chance to have some time out.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So thank you so much for coming on to the show to be a guest today, Karen. It's much appreciated.
No, thank you. Like I say, thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to talk to you.
You're most welcome. So for those people that want to connect with you and reach out to you, where's the best places that they can find you online, Karen?
Okay, so they can come by to my website. So it's thesensitivefoodiekitchen.com. You can find me on Facebook as The Sensitive Foodie. And I'm also over on Instagram as well, which is the.sensitive.foodie. They're all slightly different, but they all have The Sensitive Foodie in them.
Excellent. That's great. Thanks for sharing, just one more thing, Danny, just to say,
if I'm on the Facebook page every Friday, I'm doing a live cooking session. So it's 11 o'clock on Fridays. So if anybody needs a little inspiration or wants to know how to make something, then it's I've had quite a few people coming week after week just to learn a different recipe for the week. So if you know anybody wants to find out that or check that out, then do come by.
That's a great idea, that is. That so they can cook along with you, or do they just watch a demo?
No, well, either. Yeah, so I post the recipes the night before. Well, the ingredients the night before, so they can get ready. And some people cook along with me, and some people just watch and laugh and ask questions. And then it's recorded as well. So some people catch up with it a bit later. Because I've got people tuning in from New Zealand and Australia and all sorts of places. So it's great.
That's fantastic. If I'm around on Friday morning, I'll definitely check that out myself. So thank you for telling us about that.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. So thanks for being on the show today, Karen. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you once more.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com, where you'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.